Just a little bit about myself. I suffered a vocal injury 25 years ago, which is why I sound the way I do. And at the time, I was a pastor and a worship leader, and you can kind of do the math on that. What does a pastor do that can't talk? So it was a life-altering, traumatic injury that redirected my life in some very strong ways and threw me into crisis in just about every area of my life, not the least of which was theological crisis. There's probably nothing more painful to a pastor than to have something happen to you for which you don't have a verse. I didn't have a verse for this, Justin, and so now I've got to go after God to try to find out, who are you anyways? Because the God that I thought I knew, you just got out of the box. And so, who are you? And do you do this kind of stuff with your friends? And so it catapulted me in a passionate pursuit of God, because I'm one of these guys. I'm just a Jesus is my healer guy. That's just who I am. I'm one of those healing guys that I just believe by his stripes we're healed. And so how do I put all that together with what's happened? And so it became a very intense journey with the Lord. And I just want to say right from the gate, I'm still a Jesus is my healer guy. I want to say it from the start. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my sicknesses. You're not listening to my last chapter. He is the Lord my healer. He's promised, and he's good to his promise, and I'm holding him to his word. So I'm pressing into his healing every day of my life, and I'm like, nothing wrong with Pagosa Springs, Colorado, Lord, and I'm ready right now. So when the voice shut down, the writing opened up, and so the books back there, I never even considered myself an author. I still don't, actually. But some people, the Lord has to put them in prison to get them to write, I guess. So out of the prison has come the stuff. Basically, my journey on paper. Little bit personal, so when you read my stuff, be nice to me. But every book is precious to me, and I hope that they're a blessing. Now, one of my goals this weekend is with our prices back there to beat out Amazon by a mile. We are on a war with Amazon here this weekend, so this is your chance. You will not find this on Amazon. You will not find it anywhere. So take advantage of our pricing this weekend. And if you get 4 books at the $30 special, I'm throwing in a complimentary copy of my new book, Reset. This copy is defective. I just looked at it. There's something wrong with it. Okay, gotta figure that out. 20 ways to a consistent prayer life. It's written for basically the whole body of Christ, whether you've known the Lord for 2 days or 2 decades. I think it will give you practical steps for establishing consistency in your personal prayer life. And then once you've got that in place, you'll want to go to secrets. This one will just put fire on your altar and encourage your heart. So I'm going to be talking about our secret place for relationship with the Lord. You know, I've got two books up here. I should give these away. Sorry, this one's defective. I don't know what happened on that. Okay, you can get a free book right now. Here's what you got to do. You got to be under 30. You have to promise to read them. And you have to be the first two people up here. Okay, sis, you only get one. You gotta give one up. You gotta give one up. You only get one. Awesome. Let's get it. I like that. I'm going to talk about the secret place tonight. Now, here's what I love about tonight. I'm talking to a group that actually gets it. You wouldn't be here on a Saturday night if you didn't get it. And what do I mean by getting it? I mean, the Lord said in His Word, He says, I'm just looking to find out, is there anybody who gets it? Is there anybody who is seeking God? Psalm 14, verse 2. The smartest thing you'll ever do is go after God and pursue the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, talking about the secret place to a room full of people that get it is like my love language tonight. You set me up, bro. Thank you. This is fabulous. When I speak about the secret place, I'm speaking about something very personal for me. I'm not going to talk on it because I did a word study or an exegetical, study on it. The secret place has literally been my survival. I am here tonight, literally, because of the secret place. I almost lost my way when this happened to me. There's a scripture that says, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. And that verse describes my experience. I almost lost my way. The only thing that kept me was sitting at His feet and hearing the rhemas of His mouth. And I am here tonight, literally, because of the secret place. There's a scripture that says, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Some people view that as a threat. But when you have a secret life in God, that becomes a fabulous promise that the years you have invested in your secret relationship with Jesus Christ is one day He is going to own it in the presence of the Heavenly Father. One of the primary purposes of our secret place is it's a place where we feed ourselves in the Word of God. My son Joel, I've got a couple sons. I think my youngest son, Michael, actually paid a visit here. Some of you may have met my youngest son, Michael. My older son Joel, he was looking for a home church. This was a few years back, and he was shopping with his family to find a church. And after visiting a few churches, he asked me, he says, Dad, what should I be looking for when I'm looking for a home church? Well, when your kids are in their 30s, they don't really ask you very many things anymore. And so I'm like, okay, my son actually wants to know my opinion on something. Whoa. So I was careful with my answer. And I said to him, look for a church that produces spiritual hunger in its flock. How do you produce spiritual hunger in a flock? The answer is a little counterintuitive. You feed them. To make sheep hungry, you feed them. Sheep that are well fed become healthy. Healthy sheep develop an appetite. And once you get an appetite, Sunday morning just doesn't cut it for you anymore. You want more. And that's what the secret place is all about. It's a place to sit at his feet and hear the words of his mouth. My primary passion, to be honest, Justin, is not to equip leaders to feed the flock. My primary passion is to equip the flock to become self-feeders. That's what I'm after. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight about the secret place that if you misunderstood my intention, you might think I'm an anti-congregation guy. So I just want to say it from the start. You got the wrong guy. I am a huge congregation guy. I have deep convictions about the role of the congregation in the life of the believer. I do not see a contradiction between the role of the congregation and the role of the secret place. I think we need both. So I'm huge on being a part of a local church. I go to church because I want to worship the Lord. I go to church to connect with the body of Christ. I go to church to give. I go to church to hear a preceding word that helps us move forward as a body. I go to church for my children to be instructed. A lot of reasons. Well, actually, I'm going to give you my number one reason for going to church. Are you ready for it, Renee? Okay. And the reason I'm going to share this right now is because this generation today is in an ecclesiological crisis. Ecclesiological is a fancy word for doctrine of the church. And there are probably millions of believers in America that just don't understand the role of the church in a believer's life, and they do the secret place and no congregation. So I'm just going to tell you, Renee, why I go to church. It's from Psalm 122, verse 2. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. The psalmist is referring to the feasts. The scripture called upon the Jews to go to Jerusalem for three feasts every year. And when it was time to go to the feast, the psalmist didn't high-five his neighbor and go, God bless you, bro. Have a good trip. Go with God. Would you kiss the soil of Jerusalem for me? Be sure to say hi to my cousins. And here's $20. Have a stop at McDonald's on me. He said, I wrestled my calendar down. I gathered my family. And we made the long trek all the way to Jerusalem. And when it was time for the feast, my feet were standing in the gates of Jerusalem. It's a declaration in the presence of heaven. That's why I go to church. I am making a statement before heaven. When your people were gathered together in your name, my feet were in the house. I want the dust in the carpet left on my shoes, and I want the dust on my shoes left in the carpet as a statement before heaven. When the people of God were gathered together in your name, I didn't just bless them and send my spiritual high five. My feet were in the house. That's why I go to the prayer room. I live in Kansas City, and I'm just being honest with you, Justin. That's why I go to the prayer room. I don't go because it blesses me or doesn't bless me. I'm making a statement before heaven. My feet are in the house. Having said that, I don't go to church to get fed. When I want to get fed, I go to the secret place. If I get fed by the pastor's message, that's gravy. If I get blessed by the worship service, that's awesome. But I don't go to get fed by the message or to get blessed by the worship. I go to make a statement in the presence of heaven. And if the service blesses me, like I'm stoked, awesome. I wasn't even coming for that. When I want to get fed, I go to the secret place. So if I go to church and the pastor's message misses me by a mile, doesn't bother me at all, because I didn't come for that in the first place. Actually, I feel sorry for people that go to church to get fed. You poor, starving, emaciated Christian. Look at your rack of bones, barely able to drag your carcass into the building. Collapse in the back row, oxygen tank on your back, waiting for something to drip from the pastor's mouth to sustain you for one more week. You poor, starving, emaciated skeleton of a Christian. Jesus didn't die for you to live off one meal a week. He died to give you a fabulous, enriching, abundant life in Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, hearing the rhemas of his mouth, nourished in the Holy Spirit. He came to give us abundant life. You know, when you're in church and you're listening to the pastor preach, sometimes you really have to work hard to get the sermon to apply to your life. Have you ever if I just, take a hard right and then another left, I guess it kind of sort of applies, maybe quasi. But when you're in the secret place and the Holy Spirit speaks, when the Lord speaks to you in the secret place, it comes with your name on it. It hits you just where you're living. It sustains you. It brings light into your eyes. It flushes your cheeks. It gives you strength in your soul. And it enables you to walk in your wilderness journey. There ain't nothing like hearing from Jesus in the secret place. I was in a room one time with several leaders, And it was a social context. And one of the guys said something like this, "Who's your favorite teacher?" And so different names were being mentioned of various well-known teachers in the body of Christ. And one of the guys in the room goes like this, "Actually, I'm my favorite teacher." And as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what he meant. Because when you become a self-feeder in the secret place, you become your own favorite teacher. I'm talking tonight about it's something that's better than a sermon, better than a podcast, better than a conference, better than a book. I'm talking about sitting at his feet, hearing his word, the spirit of revelation coming upon you. Suddenly that word comes alive to your heart. It nails where you're living. It causes you to come alive on the inside because of the words of his mouth. Now, I've used a word a couple times just now that I want to explain so that everyone tonight is on the same page together. I use the word rhema, and I want to explain that. The New Testament was written in the Greek language. And in Greek, there are two words for our English word. Logos means word, and rhema means word. So in the New Testament, when you're reading your English Bible and you come across the word, word, you don't know if it's translating logos or rhema. You have to go back to the original language to know which Greek word was originally being used. For example, if you're in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that scripture, Word is Logos. And then when you come to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," that one was rhema. You live by the rhemas of his mouth. So, a common way to define the difference, you've probably heard this one before, logos is the written word of God, rhema is the spoken word of God. And now I give you the Bob Sorkey homespun definition. Here's my distinction between logos and rhema. A logos is a rhema God gave somebody else. Okay, let me explain this. When the writers of Scripture got their message, it came to them as a rhema. They got it straight from heaven, set their hearts on fire, and they're like, "Ooh, I'm gonna write that down." They wrote it down, and then they gave it to us. And when we got it, we got a logos. They got it from heaven, rhema. We got it from them, logos. Because you can't give somebody else your rhema. When you give somebody else your rhema, it gets downgraded to a logos. Maybe you've experienced something like this. Maybe it's happened to you where you're in the logos, you're just meditating and praying, and then the Spirit of revelation comes upon you. That's Ephesians 1:17. Spirit of revelation comes upon you, and you're like, I have never seen this verse in my life. I've read it probably 50 times, and I have never seen the verse. Suddenly, the thing pops off the page. It nails you. It flushes your cheeks. It puts fire in your eyes. It quickens your spirit. It's better than a cappuccino at Starbucks. That when that thing comes, and you're like, that is it. That's my answer. I've been seeking God for 15 years, and I just got my answer. You are so jazzed. You call your friend up. I just got the best rhema I've gotten in 15 years. And your friend is like, tell me. You share your rhema with her, and she goes, praise God. You just want to slap her. I just gave you the best rhema I've gotten in 15 years. Well, remember, you got a rhema, she got a logos. Because you can't give anybody a rhema. There's only one way to get a rhema, and that is directly from heaven to your heart. I know how to get a rhema. But it's a secret. And I'm not quite sure I'm going to tell you. You have to look like you really want this one, okay? Okay, Jeff, here we go. Here's how you get a rhema. Long and loving meditation in the Logos. When you have the Logos in front of you, you are a divine setup. You've got a bullseye painted on yourself. You are just one big, here I am, come and get me, Jesus. When you have the Logos in front of you, it's as your in the Logos that the Spirit of revelation will come upon you, will speak a rhema through the Logos and set your heart on fire. Galatians 6 verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here's the principle of our scripture. Sow to the Spirit. You will eventually reap to the Spirit. Sow to the secret place. You will eventually reap to the secret place. Sow to the Logos. You will eventually reap to the Logos. It is impossible to keep sowing to the secret place without eventually reaping to the secret place. I'm going to say it this way. Sow to the Logos, you will eventually reap a rhema. I'm not going to say how long it's going to take. I'm just saying, if you keep sowing, you will eventually reap. Okay, here comes another secret. I paid a price for these, Justin. Okay, here comes another one. The more time you spend in the Logos, the better. Somebody's thinking to themselves right now, Bob, your secret place must be awesome. Actually, no. It's mostly boring, mostly dull, and mostly sewing. But I know a secret. I know that if I'll just keep sewing, just keep sewing, just keep sewing, I'm eventually gonna reap a rhema. And once you have tasted a rhema, once you have had the spirit of revelation quicken your heart, feed you with something that carries you through the wilderness, once you have tasted what I'm talking about tonight, you become a rhema junkie. You're like, I need another one of those. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get another one. I don't care how long I have to sew. If I have to sew for 3 days, if I have to sew for 3 weeks, if I have to sew for 3 months, if I have to sew for 3 years, I don't care how long it's going to take. Every day in the secret place, every day in the logos, every day sewing to the Spirit, because I know if I will just keep sewing, eventually I will reap to the Spirit. This is what happened to the two on the road to Emmaus. They're walking with Jesus, didn't know it. When they later realized that it had been him all along, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? This is what sets your heart on fire. It's when Jesus opens the scripture to your understanding. You would have been on fire too, Jeff, if you had been there. Why? Because it's rhema. They've got Jesus, the anointed, resurrected Christ, downloading rhema after rhema to their spirit. No wonder you had heartburn, Cleopas. This is what sets our heart on fire. It's when he gives us understanding into the riches of his word, who he is. It's rhema that awakens you to the word. There is an awakening to the word of God. How can I speak of this? I will give it my best shot. Let me talk about how I was awakened to the word of God. A little bit of my story. When this happened to me, I was 35 years old. I was pastoring a church, and back in those days, I was very disciplined. I come from German stock, and so I'm one of these disciplined German get up 6 o'clock in the morning secret place. I was just one of those kind of guys. I would be every morning, I'd come to our church sanctuary and have my time with the Lord. And I, back in those days, I read a different translation of the Bible every year. I would lay hands on every chair in the sanctuary and bless. And I would pray over every family in our church directory. And I just had I kind of had a checklist that I'd go through. But I wasn't yet awakened to the Word of God. And here's how the Lord helped me to see it. Because when he sticks you in the fire, you start seeing stuff you never saw before. And here's how I saw it after this happened to me. The Lord helped me to see that I would actually be relieved when my prayer time was over. I know you've never done that. But I'd be kind of like this. I had a checklist. Thanksgiving, worship, praise, intercession, Bible reading. I just had a checklist of all the stuff that I did in my secret place. And then when I was finished, I'd be like, yes, now I can do what I really want to do. Because what I really wanted to do, I wanted to take my city for Christ, I wanted to take my nation for Christ, and I wanted to change my world for Christ. And I knew if you're going to do all that, you have to have power. And to get power, you got to go to the secret place. And so I would go, my secret place with the Lord, I knew I had to do it if I was going to do what I really wanted to do. And the Lord comes to me and basically said to me, Bob, you come to me like a gas station. I have a gas station relationship with you. And the Lord was, well, yeah. Is there anybody here that goes to the gas station because it just jazzes you? I didn't get any hands on that. The gas station is a necessary evil. I go to the gas station because I have to do that if I'm going to do what I really want to do, and that is drive. And that's what my secret place was like. It was like a filling station that I had to do in order to drive my ministry vision. And I'm seeing it like, Lord, I have come to you like a gas station. It pierced my heart. I was like, Lord, I don't want it to be like this. I want it to be this romantic, delightful, intimate communion. I want them to have to drag me out of the secret place. And it was kind of like the Lord was going, yeah, Bob, I know that's what you want. And that's why I'm actually interrupting your life and answering your prayer. But I realized how he was reorienting my relationship and connection to him. And I'll tell you where I got awakened to the Word of God. It was in my darkest hour when I thought, I'm losing my mind. When nothing was making sense, life was over, and in the darkest pit of my life, he pulled up a chair and began to feed me with the words of his mouth. And for the first time in my life, the words of his mouth were my survival. And that's where I was awakened to the Word of God. And now I wish for the body of Christ to be awakened to what we have in this book. I don't wish for anyone to have to get there the way I got there, but I do wish for the body of Christ to be awakened to the glory of what we have in this book. Can I express my pain for just a moment? I hope that you can hear this in the spirit I intend it. I travel a lot. I get to a different place most every weekend. I'm somewhere different. And what I'm about to say is a broad strokes generality. There's always exceptions. But I can't say how often this happens to me, that I'll be in a church with a congregation, and I'll say something like this. Turn with me in your Bibles to, and then I mention of a scripture, and the congregation will sit and stare at me like you're staring at me right now. And I'm like, They don't have their Bibles. They didn't bring their Bibles. And I realized we don't realize what we've got. I'm speaking in broad strokes. The bride of Christ has not been awakened to the glory of the Word of God. 31,103 verses that you can access to set your heart on fire. Somebody goes, "Well, they're having a night of worship at my church." Night of worship? I guess I don't need my Bible. Excuse me. 31,103 verses to ignite your heart in a worship service. I call this the worshiper's friend. The lyrics are on the screen, and as you're singing the lyrics, suddenly you're going, "I was just in 1 Peter 3 this week. Let me find that again." And now the scripture intersecting with the lyrics, and it's setting your heart on fire. This will cause your heart to burn in worship. It's fuel for your worship life. I can't imagine being in a worship service without it. Somebody goes, "Well, they're having a prayer meeting at my church." Prayer meeting? I guess I don't need my Bible. Excuse me. 31,103 verses that you can pray from. It's a prayer manual. Now, you don't pray every verse in this book. There's a verse that goes, "So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so." Don't pray that verse. But so many of the verses, so many of the scriptures in this book are just big, wide open invitations for conversation with Jesus. My secret place relationship with the Lord is primarily praying scripture. Mostly that's what it is. 95% of my secret place is just praying from scripture. I don't read the scripture. I pray the scripture. In other words, while I'm reading, I'm looking for conversation pieces. Not that I actually take time to pray every verse I'm reading, but I'm engaging with the Lord as I'm reading. I love to pray the scripture. When you're praying the scriptures, it puts authority on your prayer, and you never run out of stuff to pray for. An inexhaustible trove to empower your prayer life. Go to a prayer meeting without it? It's unthinkable. Somebody goes, "Well, my pastor puts all the verses for the sermon on the screen now, so I guess I don't need to bring my Bible to church anymore." Excuse me. 31,103 verses given to us by heaven to set our heart on fire, and you came to the house without it? It's unthinkable to me. This is where our hearts are set on fire, praying in the scripture, engaging in conversation with the Lord, set up for the spirit of revelation to come upon us, ignite us in the Word of God. I really love how the prayer movement is equipping the body of Christ to pray the scriptures in this hour. It's fabulous. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained upon him. Listen. The dove of the Spirit loves to come and rest upon the Word. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Has anyone here ever lit a campfire? Mark, you've done a campfire. Okay, let me ask you a question, Mark. Is that campfire still going? He stopped putting wood on the fire. If you want the fire of your heart to stay alive, you've got to keep putting wood on the altar of your heart. Hear it carefully. The wood is the Word. And when you are in the Logos, you are putting wood on your fire. It's the source that keeps us alive in our spirits before God. When your spirit starts to get cold, I did not say if your spirit starts to get cold, I said when your spirit starts to get cold. Dr. Bob has a diagnosis for you tonight. You need to go get some wood. Time to get into the Logos and get some wood back on your fire, because it's the Word of God that sets us on fire. The wise gather wood every day. Would you be interested in my sharing with you one of the rhemas God gave me? That would interest you. All right. What I'm about to share with you is a rhema, very, very precious rhema to my heart. And as I share this rhema with you, I don't really care what you think. I don't care if you agree or disagree. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. Because when you get a rhema from heaven, it doesn't really matter to you what other people think. It doesn't move you. This word sustained me for 40 years, for 40 days in the wilderness. And if you think I'm going to be moved by your fickle opinion, I'm sorry, but that doesn't cut it for me. I got this from heaven. Jesus said to Mary, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. When you get a rhema from heaven, nobody can take it from you. It's yours for keeps. So I don't care what you think about my rhema tonight. Jeff, like it or not, agree or not, I don't really care. I'm just going to tell you my rhema. Here's where I got it. I'm about to tell you the most important word in the whole Bible. And here's where I got it. I was in a season of special consecration. I was really pursuing the Lord and His Word in this season. And I was immersing myself in the words of Christ. You understand, some Bibles have the words of Jesus in red ink. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, if it was in red, I was reading it. I was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Revelation 1, 2, 3. I was into the words going hard after this. And as I'm immersing myself in the words of Christ, there was one word that started to pop off the page. Well, he said it there. Well, he said it there. And again, and again. Well, he said it. And I'm like, man, Jesus said that word an awful lot. And then here came the rhema. It's the most important word in the whole Bible. I'm about to tell you the most important word in the whole Bible. Hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In his blockbuster parable of the sower, Jesus said, this one heard the word this way. This one heard the word this way. This one heard the word this way. This one heard the word with a good heart. Everything in the kingdom is predicated on hearing. When you hear from God, now you can walk in obedience and fulfill the words of His mouth. It all starts with hearing. Somebody's going, actually, I don't agree with that. I think the most important word in the Bible is love. Well, there is a verse that says, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God. Somebody goes, well, I think the most important word in the Bible is faith. Well, there is a verse that says, faith comes by. Which is why when I go to the secret place, I do not go primarily to talk. I go to listen. Things don't change when I talk to God. Things change when God talks to me. When I talk, in case you haven't noticed, nothing happens. When God talks, universes come into existence. Yes, I talk to God. I pray. Yeah, I do all that. But that's not my primary focus. My primary focus when I come to the secret place, I want to hear the words of His mouth. One word from God changes everything. And I'm standing in front of you tonight and just saying in the presence of heaven, I'm waiting for one word from your mouth. I'd like to close tonight with a scripture that means so much to me, a word from the mouth of Jesus that is so important that, Lord, if you would help me right now, that I could somehow convey to these precious saints how important this verse is to me. I'm going to give it my best try, and I need the Holy Spirit to help me now. Luke 8, verse 18, this scripture is so strong for me. Jesus said, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has to him more will be given. The most striking word of that verse for me is the word how. Take heed how you hear. Why? Because to him who has, to him, more will be given. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you hear the word he speaks, retain it. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of your eternal history with him. He'll give you more. But if he gives you a rhema, and then he comes back in 5 years, and that rhema has fallen off your radar, fallen into disuse, and is no longer a part of your personal history with God, why should he give you another when you didn't value the last one enough to make sure you held on to it? Therefore, it's very important to me how I hear, because I realize if I'm going to get more, I have to prove that I was a good steward of what he already gave me. Let me illustrate this from football. Am I in Kansas City Chiefs territory? I've never done anything more than just, I think I played on a college team one time, flag football. That's not even real football, okay, but anybody in the room ever play wide receiver? Was anybody here ever a wide receiver? Okay. I got a hand over here. Okay, bro. If I get it wrong right now, straighten me out after the meeting. I've never been a wide receiver, but I'm sorry, your name is John? Charlie. Thank you, Charlie. This thing here has got me. Charlie. So I've never been a wide receiver, but I'm imagining when a wide receiver catches a football, I'm thinking he's probably thinking something like this. They're coming for me. The whole team is coming for me. They hate me. They want to hurt me. They want to hit me as hard as they can. They are big boys. And I don't know what direction they're coming from. And I don't know how hard they're going to hit me. I just know they're coming. Whatever happens next, do not drop this ball. And Charlie wraps his arms around that ball. When God speaks a word to you, do not drop the ball. Do whatever you have to do to wrap your arms around that word. Make it a part of your personal history. Do not drop the ball. The quarterback throws the ball. And the wide receiver, he drops it. And the quarterback is probably going, The quarterback throws Charlie. No, not Charlie. This is another guy now. Charlie always caught the ball. The quarterback throws a second ball, and the guy drops the ball. And the quarterback is probably going, you're having a bad day. He throws him a third ball, and the receiver drops the ball. I've never played quarterback, but I'm thinking the quarterback is probably going, I will not be throwing you any more footballs. If you want the quarterback to throw you the football, you have to prove you have hands. You have to prove that you have a history of catching footballs. So to get more balls thrown at you, catch the one coming at you. They took our verse down. It's the principle of Luke 8:18. Jesus is saying, catch the ball to the one who receives and retains, I'll give you more. The reason this is so important to me is because I want more. And he said, if I'm going to get more, I have to prove that I'm a faithful steward of the word he's already given me. So, Jeff, I'm just going to tell you my own quirky way of holding on to the ball, okay? You don't have to do it my way. I'm just going to tell you how I do it. Because I think I qualify to win the prize tonight for the worst memory in the room. You might think you can vie for that position. I think I got a chance to beat you out. I think I've got one of the worst memories. I don't know what happened when they were giving out memories at the bank. But I just, if I don't wrestle the thing down, it's gone. And the only way that I can retain a word that God gives me, I'm just telling you the truth, Jerry, the only way I can do it is if I write it down. If I don't write it down, it takes wings and it's gone. And so I have to write it down and then have a way of reviewing it. Because again, if I don't review it, I'm just going to forget it. And so I've got a very intentional way of catching footballs. I'll tell you how I do it. When I'm in a meeting, such as we are in tonight, where I know that the Word of God is going to be taught, I always have three things with me. Susie, did I say always? I always have a Bible, a notebook, and a pen. Why? God forbid that something should be spoken in the preaching or teaching of the word that quickens something in my heart from the Lord, and I have no way to land that football. It's just not going to happen. I am going to catch that football. I've got it ready. I write it down. And now here's my own little quirky way, okay? When the meeting's over, I go home straight to my laptop, punch it into my journal, and then I have my own, you're going to call me a little bit OCD, but I've got my own little system of a filing system in my laptop for holding on to various thoughts. So I take from my journal, I cut paste individual thoughts according to topic. So I'm like, okay, now that's an insight into humility. That's sweet. That's going in my humility file. I open my Word file on humility, cut paste, okay. That paragraph, that's an insight on faith. That one's going in my faith file. Open my faith file in my Microsoft Word. God, I love computers. Cut, paste, stick it right in there. So everything that I get will land in two places. It'll go in my journal, and then it'll go in my topical library. In my topical library, in my laptop, I have approximately, I haven't counted them, I'm going to guess maybe 700 individual Word files, all by topic. Righteousness, humility, holiness, Abraham, David, Joshua, names of people, chapters, books of the Bible. It's just like, and it's all alphabetized by my laptop. It's just a beautiful thing. And you're going, Bob, you go to all that work. Why? I want more. And I've learned, if you're gonna get more, you got to land what he gives you now. And so this is very intentional for me. When I'm in a prayer meeting, I always have three things. Did I say always? Bible, notepad, and a pen. You will not find me in a prayer meeting without three things. It just doesn't happen. Why? I get some of my best footballs in prayer meetings. When I'm reading the scripture and praying the scripture, I get some of my best stuff. God forbid that I should be in a prayer meeting praying a verse, the spirit of revelation comes on me, and I have no way to land that thing. It's just not going to happen. I always, in a prayer meeting, have three things. Why? I want more. When I'm in the secret place, I always, did I say always? I always have three things in the secret place. Can you help me out now? Bob, you are really working this one right now. It's that important to me. I want more. Take heed how you hear. To him who has ears, let him hear. I think we'll finish right here. Our worship ministry is going to come and prepare to give us some vocabulary for our response to the Lord. I am with a group of eager saints tonight. I've been preaching to the choir, and I love being with you. I just want to give you a chance to respond to the Lord tonight. There might be some here that you're just like, you know, I just want to say, Lord, would you put some fresh fire on my secret place? Lord, I'm asking for some fresh momentum, some fresh grace, some fresh oil, a fresh, just help, Lord, for what Bob has been talking about tonight. My heart's just been saying a big yes all evening long. I want more of this. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to be a good hearer? Would you help me to be a good receiver? Someone that is a proven steward that you can give more to. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking for a fresh grace on my secret place. If you desire that, you're welcome to come forward as the worship team leads us in a song. Let's stand together. You don't have to. You can respond right in your seat. There's no obligation whatsoever. But if you just have a desire in your heart to say, Lord, I just want a fresh touch from your spirit, a fresh fire in my secret place. I'm asking, dove of the Holy Spirit, would you come upon me when I have the Logos in front of me? I'm asking you, Lord, would you make me, would you honor the target that I'm presenting to you here in your presence with the Logos in front of me? Come on, Lord Jesus, send the dove of your Spirit. Give me the Spirit of revelation. I live from the words of your mouth. Awaken me to your word. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, give me the ramas of your mouth. Give me understanding. Open the scripture to my heart and cause me to be a living ember that burns in the courts of the King, because you have opened your word to my heart in the secret place.